Welcome back. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. More than a dozen new distilleries have opened or are set to open across Maryland. Last year, Baltimore Magazine described it as a spirit-making tsunami. Well, here in Baltimore, four craft distilleries have fired up whiskey stills in just the past few years. If this trend continues, Maryland could return to its pre-prohibition status as the country's third biggest whiskey maker after Kentucky and Pennsylvania. My next guests are two guys who are making a run at this booming booze market. Mark McLaughlin and Arch Watkins are friends who met while serving as flight officers in the Navy. They founded Old Line Spirits in 2014, and they're putting the finishing touches on their refurbished distillery in Highlandtown, which they plan to have up and running sometime in the early fall. Welcome to both of you. It's good to see you.
Likewise. Thank you.
So, Mark, you were an investment banker, and Arch was an engineer or something. How did you end up in the whiskey business?
So, like you mentioned on the intro, Arch and I are Navy buddies. We both got out for different reasons and both ended up in Baltimore. I'm not from here originally. I'm from Boston, but fell in love with the city and haven't looked back. Got into investment banking, which was a great place to learn a lot, but I realized pretty quickly it wasn't what I wanted to do long term. This has always been kind of been nagging at me, the desire to own my own business, to be in the spirits industry. It's always been something that's very interesting to both of us, I think. And at a certain point, just decided that, you know, I wasn't getting any younger, and we decided to just jump in with both feet and start a business, and there you go. It was as simple as that.
And you actually bought this. This was a business that existed before. I mean, the recipe for this brew has existed before. Do I have that right? You met somebody who was also had a Navy connection out in the Pacific Northwest?
That's correct, yeah. We met two older gentlemen. They were both Vietnam-era veterans, and they had an award-winning whiskey that they wanted to keep alive and pass down. They were ready to retire. They're in their 70s. One of them was terminally ill. And actually, Mark ran into one of them at a conference. And we got to know them, got to know the product a lot better. Went out there and apprenticed under one of them for a couple of months. Learned everything about the product. And we packed everything up and moved it to Baltimore.
All right. And then you'll be up and running in Highlandtown pretty soon, I
Absolutely,
guess.
Absolutely, yeah.
So how would you describe this particular whiskey, Mark?
So it's a relatively new category. It's an American single malt. So similar to a single malt scotch, it's made from 100% malted barley. Ours is all grown and malted in the U.S. But unlike a scotch, we age it in brand new barrels. So fresh charred oak barrels, which is the way you age a bourbon. So essentially, we're taking the basic idea behind a scotch, but putting an American spin on it. So it's you can call it a hybrid of scotch and bourbon. We think it leans more towards a bourbon because of that oak forward flavor that you get from those fresh new barrels.
Uh-huh. So I'm going to take a sip here. We've each got one called here. So cheers, salut. And of course, we're doing this. You know, a friend of mine once said drinking before breakfast has been much maligned. But
yeah. Yeah,
here it is. It's not quite before breakfast, but it's early. Yeah, that's very smooth. I enjoy scotch. I enjoy bourbon, but I'm not an aficionado. Arch, what should one be looking for when one tastes a new concoction like this?
Typically, you start out with getting the nose. You know, sticking your nose in there and getting the aroma off of the whiskey, and that's going to tell you a lot about what you're going to taste. My nose, I smell a little bit of honey, some vanilla, maybe a little bit of banana hidden in there. And then when I taste it, the sweet receptors on the tip of your tongue will pick up all of those sweet notes. And then, you know, towards the middle of the palate, we'll have a little bit more, you'll taste the malt, the single malt come through in a way you wouldn't really see with a bourbon.
Yeah. But this really doesn't taste like any bourbon I've ever had, nor does it taste like any scotch I've ever had. So I can see how you say it's kind of a hybrid. Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah.
And we like that because what it does for us is, A, we love the product and the flavor profile, but also as far as when we go out there and introduce it to people, you know, it's not one more of something. If somebody already has 10 bourbons on a shelf at home, does he need one more? Maybe not. But this is something that's familiar, but still different enough to really get people's attention, which mm-hmm. we really like.
I mean, as we mentioned at the top, so many people are opening these distilleries now. I mean, Kevin Plank, very famously, the owner of Under Armour, he has a thing called Sagamore Spirits. I mean, obviously, you guys have checked this out. I mean, you think there's enough demand to be able to, you know, accommodate all of these different businesses?
Oh, I think so.
It sounds like you have a lot of competition. That's what I'm saying.
I think that if you look back, we haven't even approached the number of distilleries that were around pre-prohibition. I think that and of course there's that many more people that are drinking whiskey now. So I think there's a ton of headroom. Certainly Baltimore, D.C., Annapolis, this area here is very, very thirsty. We haven't had a problem getting our product on the shelf at all.
Yeah. So there are more people drinking whiskey now. Why do you think there's been a renaissance of whiskey drinking all of a sudden?
You know, we kick it around all the
time. We're past the Chardonnay phase of our, you know, culture.
I think it's, I've heard it described a couple of ways, and the ones that resonated with me the most were really two reasons. One, that it's not coming from nowhere. It's that it was, a much more popular drink years ago, and then vodka took over in the 70s and 80s, really. And people are just getting back into it now. And also, I've heard people describe it as just in general a reset to flavor in the American palate. So not just with whiskey, but with beer and with food. I mean, if you walk around Baltimore, I would guess you can probably find more really good meals today than you could maybe 30, 40 years ago.
That's certainly the case.
Yeah, and I think that's just part of that broader trend where people are just rediscovering flavor on every level, and this is just one more expression of that.
Mm-hmm. And how long is the process? So, in other words, people can buy old line American whiskey now in liquor stores here in Maryland, but none of that was made in Baltimore. That's the stuff that was made in the original distillery back in at the Pacific Northwest. So, how long will it take for people to be able to buy old line that's actually produced here from Baltimore?
Well, we hope to have our still up and running, like you said, in the early fall. And depending on how long it takes to age in our small oak casks, hopefully
a year. What's the normal aging? About a year?
About a year, yeah. Mm-hmm. Until then, Mark and I went out there and we made it, made a good deal of it when we were apprenticing. And that'll be ready shortly as well. I can't say it went offhand right now, but...
Because that was a while ago, that's towards the end of its process. Yeah,
right.
I understand that the American Distilling Institute is going to have its annual conference here in Baltimore in April. That's another feather in the cap of Baltimore distillers, isn't it? That's
sure.
A big deal to have all those folks come.
I think so. It is. Yeah, we're excited about that. And we actually were just talking about this earlier with us and then the other members of the Maryland Distilling Guild. We all work together on a lot of things, and we all get along really well. So we're all trying to wrap our heads around how we can, all participate.
Sounds like a nice community of folks.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Well, good luck to you. This tastes great to me, and I'm sure it would taste better if it were 5 o'clock in the afternoon instead of 10 o'clock in the morning. But it's great to meet you, and best wishes. Okay.
Likewise.
Mark McLaughlin and Arch Watkins are co-founders and owners of Old Line Spirits Distillery in Highlandtown. They're set to debut their new line of whiskey. Made here in Baltimore sometime in the early fall. They are one of the latest in a wave of new distilleries to open up in Baltimore and across the state. More information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. Maryland Morning's director, engineer, and co-host is Nathan Sterner. The show's produced by Rob Sivak, Bridget Armstrong, and Kathleen Cahill, with production assistance from Lauren Ferguson. Austin Coughlin from Clean Cuts wrote and recorded the Maryland Morning theme music. Coffee for our guests provided by Zeke's Coffee in Lauraville. You can find them online at zekescoffee.com. That's our show for this morning. Coming up Monday, a conversation with MICA President Sammy Hoy, a theater review with J. Wynn Russick, and activist and author Steve Phillips on a new American majority. Hope you can join us Monday morning here on Maryland Morning. Until then, I'm Tom Hall. Thanks so much for listening. Garrison Keillor's up next. Have a great weekend.
I'm going to try to get you some whiskey. I want you to have a very fine time. If I can't get you scotch and bourbon, Lord, I sure ain't gonna offer you no wine. Oh, Sam Hopkins, I'm so glad you in my town.